You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply. Listen, when I say things into this microphone, I believe them, and I'd love to be right.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
But when I'm right, I do like to return to the microphone and enforce that.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Do not let the Buffalo Bills in the tournament. But they didn't.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Lions tight end Sam Laporta. Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman. Coming up, legendary actor and director Dolph Lundgren. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. It's time for hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show. We're on the air on the Roku channel. We had a great chat with Bruce Feldman for the last 40 minutes on what happened when Nick Saban decided to retire and the search process, Quinn Ewers staying and Arch Manning sitting, what's going on with Michigan's head coach Jim Harbaugh interviewing now with the Falcons in addition to the Los Angeles Chargers, as we all expected him to, and then Caleb Williams taking to the last second to declare that he's going to be turning pro. And if you missed any of that, we re-air as soon as this hour is over every single day on Channel 210 on the Roku channel. We also have our podcast. All 3 hours of that is available whenever you want to listen to this show. We greatly appreciate you hitting us with a follow so it just shows up right on your phone as soon as we're done every single day, or mobile device, or however you take in your podcast. We greatly appreciate that. Sam Laporta of the Lions was in hour number one. If you missed that, we re-air as soon as we're done with this hour. That includes an in-studio chat with the man who stars in, produced, co-wrote, and directed the new film Wanted Man that is in theaters on demand and is available digital this Friday and January 19th. Dolph Lundgren is going to be stopping by from 6 years ago is the last time he was here. Second time he's been on this show. So excited to have him. We'll do a little celebrity true or false with him this time around. It'll be fun. TJ Jefferson is in his usual spot. We're about to do Higher Register for the first time in maybe over a year. The Higher Register, the version, the divisional playoffs version. Definitely. That we're going to have to go Higher Register to say something that we believe. Chris Brockman, good to see you
there.
And then Jay Felly is in his spot for wherever Mike Del Tufo is.
Somewhere.
I think, what is Illinois State taking on somebody on FS1? Is that what he's doing? Riding the faders for some action basketball, action on FS1?
As a kid, that's all I dreamed of.
All right. Let's see. So, hey, Chris Brockman.
Hey.
Today's date, January 17th.
Yes.
2024.
Love it.
Is the day that you knew would come one day. The day that the New England Patriots announced the man who's coaching the team after Bill Belichick. His name is Gerard Mayo. Once upon a time, a drafted player in New England. Played his entire career in New England.
Belichick's last top 10 draft pick.
How about that?
Gerard Mayo.
Who knew he would be the one to succeed Bill Belichick as the HC of the NEP after a 24-year all-time great run? And this is what he had to say when being introduced as the new head coach there in replacing Bill Belichick.
The organization has had a lot of success over the years for a long time. And there have been many teams that, you know, they have one good year and then they're out for 3 years. One thing I learned from coaches and from Thunder is about just surrounding yourself with good people, right? Surround yourself with good people. Now, as far as our staff and things like that, we're going to be good. We're going to be a lot better. Now, Bill always says this, managing expectations. For me, I'm not trying to be Bill. I'm not trying to be Bill. I think that Bill is his own man. If you can't tell by now, I'm a little bit different even up here. But what I will say is, you know, the more I think about, like, the lessons that I've taken from Bill, hard work works, right? Hard work works. And that's what we're all about.
I like the answer.
Okay, great. Let's go.
Hard work works.
Is that different than do your job?
It's his version of it.
Brother of do your
honestly.
Job. I got a quick question.
Do your job to hard work works. Work.
Great.
Kind of dig it.
Do we replace Bill in our bathroom with Jared Mayo with the new saying now?
Well, I mean, there is a sign in our restroom here that says it's over the commode. This was my idea. I'm very proud of it.
It's funny.
It says do your job. And it's a little jarring to people when they walk into our restroom for the first time in our green room. Dolph Lundgren may be experiencing that right now.
It got me the first time.
Might do your job.
And so I don't think so.
Bill's new team.
That's what I mean. I think we just put the Falcon on it when that's announced.
Or we just keep it and not even think about it.
It was a moment in time. You're right.
But it is. That's it.
It's a little discerning.
We're
sometimes.
Very proud of this here. So should we do hard work works? We should add another.
That should be for number two.
We can put that in the We can put that in the public bathroom right over here.
Hard work works
for everyone.
Well, do your job one, hard work works.
You know
works
what?
Two.
Didn't think we'd go in the toilet humor direction here, but I'll take it.
Wow.
Just returning to the football aspect of it.
Toilets!
Thank you.
Sorry. Almost
you,
missed it.
Steve
good
Ballmer.
One, Jake. Good one.
Thank you.
Yep.
I can't wait to see how it all plays out.
Did you know Robert Kraft's nickname was Thunder?
Is that who he was referring to?
Yeah, I saw
Thunder?
People tweeting it that he called Mr. Kraft Thunder 10 times.
Thunder Kraft?
That's his nickname.
All
for
right.
Kraft.
That's awesome. I can't say it.
Well, don't say it. Don't go down under or anything like that. No. He did because he said he's young at heart. He's nicknamed him Thunder.
I have no idea why.
He brings the ruckus.
Well, that's obviously the first difference between Mayo and Belichick. First blush is Thunder. He refers to RKK as Thunder, which is okay. Let's go. Let's just see how different it is and how players who will bridge the regime will handle the difference. And how everything's going to be different. They don't know another way of doing it for the last 24 years.
Right.
And I know Robert Kraft in the departure press conference for Belichick was talking about how Belichick's power within the power structure evolved over time. But it has to have been about, 15 years since Belichick last maybe looked at somebody in the draft room and says, you make the call? I don't know.
What do you think?
I'm sure he's asked, what do you think? I just don't know who's made the last call, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just wild that Bill Belichick is a coaching candidate and that you see him as part of a tweet from a team saying, we have interviewed Bill Belichick. Harbaugh's now interviewed with the Falcons, too.
About that.
That kind of surprised me. Was that a shock to you as well?
I'm like, okay, I didn't know he was making rounds. But,
yeah, exactly.
But if you're Arthur Blank, wouldn't you kick the tires on Jim Harbaugh, too?
Yeah, I think so.
I have a power rankings.
Oh.
It's Wednesday. I can't quit it. I went from never wanting to do it to now I can't quit it. I have the
you
power
so
rankings.
For so long.
This is the head coaching candidate's power rankings. Hit it. Oh, hit it. Okay. Hit it.
This is my
power rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
All right, here we go. Power rankings of head coaching candidates. You know, I haven't met some of these gentlemen, and obviously you need to look an individual in the eye when you're hiring them. And I'm going to cape for some without having met them, to be straight up with you. I just hear how others talk about them. I see how they are being interviewed by many. I've heard about their leadership qualities. You hear from players who have been coached by them who say they should be coaches. And number 10 on this list is Ejiro Evero of the Carolina Panthers. He is the DC of the Carolina Panthers, and you have seen how they've played this year. And this guy knows what it's like to coach with an interim head coach that's there, because believe it or not, he did it last year too. He was the Broncos defensive coordinator last year when Nathaniel Hackett got fired, And you want to talk about smarts. He was offered the interim head coaching job, and he said no. He said no. And I kind of heard that, and I'm like, okay, I see you. You don't want to have like that I'm the interim tag. You know, because there is sort of a, one would think a feeling you get when you hear like, oh, you're the interim, so you can be the interim, then we'll just let you go. Mm-hmm. So he said no to being the interim in Denver, where he was the defensive coordinator for the first time there. He was the Rams passing game coordinator and secondary coach the year that they won it all in 2021. So he knows all parts of the game.
Nice.
He's a former safety himself, and he, you know who got him in the league? In 2011, Jim Harbaugh made him his quality control coach in San Francisco. So he's number 10 on my list. Number 9 on the list is Frank Smith, the offensive coordinator in Miami. 42 years old, brought into the league by Sean Payton in 2010 as an assistant O-line coach. But he had me at hello when he said this from a podium about a month ago when it was brought up to him that his name has been associated with Carolina's job, which was vacant.
We know rumors are always out there. Your name has come up in association with the Carolina Panthers. Are you aware of that, or do you consider that flattering?
It's not flattering. It's more humbling. So, you know, I remember why I got into coaching. So it's like when all this stuff comes up, it's pretty cool. But the minute you worry about your goals and where you want to go, like, you forget, like, for me, how lucky I am to be here today. So all that stuff's cool, but like, I truly enjoy every day here, and that's the cool part. And it's, you know, it's one of those words, because like I'm a walk-on from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You know, every day of my life I remember it. So those things are pretty cool, but it's not going to affect today.
I mean, he got a touch of the Vermeil when being mentioned about being a coaching candidate. And I kind of dig that, you know, and obviously having to understand, you want someone who knows concepts in the National Football League on the offensive side of the football, being the guy who's coming up with game plans with Mike McDaniel. I'm in on that. And I just like how he's got some sort of a humble beginning right there. He's number 9 on the list. Number 8 on the list, the 36-year-old current offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans, from the Shanahan family tree back in Washington, and then went to San Francisco with Kyle. He is Bobby Slowick. I mean, what you want in the NFL is like, give me some of that. What you're doing right now, give me some of that. Obviously, it takes having somebody like C.J. Stroud you can plug into, but give me one of those. And so obviously number 8 right there would be on the list for me, Bobby Slowick. Number 7, he crushed it with Vegas, man. And Antonio Pierce came in to a very difficult situation and was able to solve exactly what he was able to dissect whatever the hell wasn't working with Josh McDaniels and whatever needed to be affected for his players in Vegas. And he hit the buttons, and they went into Kansas City and beat the Chiefs in Kansas City on Christmas when everybody thought, like, you know, what do you have to play for? That counts for something, man. That counts for something in my mind. And Max Crosby saying, we might have to talk about trading me if he's not going to be the coach here.
Yeah, that would
speak something for me. And I haven't even interviewed with him. But I, you know, obviously know him from back in the day when he was with the G-Men. And for me, that's counting for something to be able to dissect the situation and say, we're changing this, 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 and this, even though I'm the interim. I'm going to be the guy. Counts for something. So he's 7 on my list. Number 6 on my list, Ben Johnson is the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, brought into the league by Joe Philbin in Miami, and then he got bounced. You know who was the interim coach that year? He was Dan Campbell, who clearly remembered him because he retained Ben Johnson when he took over the staff in Detroit. And he's a walk-on quarterback at UNC. That's how he sort of got his bones in college. And he's a 37-year-old. Everybody says he knows exactly what's up. And everybody's basically putting him in Washington right now. Mm-hmm. And he's too busy to be, I guess, having the buzz significantly around him and showing up on your Twitter feed as we have just interviewed. But he's number six in the list. Number five on my list is not being interviewed anywhere, it seems. And I don't get it. I don't understand why. I know it didn't finish out very well for him at the collegiate level. But I've said over and over again, and I'm going to be consistent right here, and I don't even know if he wants me to say this stuff. But why isn't David Shaw getting run? I don't know, man. I've always said if I'm an owner of a team, I bring him in. He's got time in the league as an assistant with the Ravens back in the day. And he's got DNA in this league pretty much from jump. And I think he's brilliant. And he's the type of guy I would want to lead my locker room and a guy that I'd want to be face front talking to the media to. He's number five on my list. And again, I don't know. I don't know why he's not getting any run. I'm the only one who might even put him on the list like this, but I'm putting him on the list. I love him. Number four on the list is Raheem Morris. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Pete Carroll got some run with the Jets and the Patriots at a young age and then didn't get much run for a while and then came back and had a second run. You know who went 8-12 once upon a time with the Raiders? Mike Shanahan. You know, sometimes the second time's a charm. We all know, obviously, Belichick worked out in that respect. Raheem Morris got the gig in Tampa after Gruden at age 32. He was 32 when he took over the Bucs. Yep. Went 3-13 his first year in 2009. Then he went 10-6. That 7-win turnaround is still the best in Bucs franchise history. And the only 10-win season the Bucs had between 2006 and Tom Brady. And then, don't take my word for it, Kevin Demoff, the current COO of the Los Angeles Rams, which employs him right now as the DC, tweeted out and retweeting what he'd said about this on Schrager's podcast about Raheem Morris. Here's a short but not exhaustive list of people who say Raheem Morris will make a terrific coach. Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Mike Tomlin, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, won a Super Bowl as a DC, has 2 third-rounders leading rookies in sacks. What are we doing here, people? You know who chimed in? Whitworth chimed in because he wasn't on the list, saying, how can we request to be added to the list of people who say this? I'm in. And then Jalen Ramsey chimed in himself. He would be a top HC right now. He's the best I've ever been around and should already be a HC TBH. That's to be honest, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Ask anybody who's been around that man how great he is. I still talk to him every week, too. He's a great person outside of being a great coach. Okay. I mean, by the way, he's also, I think, interviewing everywhere right now, as well he should. Number three on the list is a former coach of the year. Mike Vrabel's out there, folks. How the hell is he out there? What happened in Tennessee? I'm all over him. If I'm an owner, what the hell is happening here? Number three on the list is Vrabel. Number two on the list is my guy. I can't stand that he's on the list, but I mean,
taking interviews.
What else you want to know? Yeah. What else you want to know here? Yeah. Okay. I had a quarterback named Alex Smith, and I threw Kaepernick in there, and I took him to a Super Bowl and damn near won it. And then I went to Michigan and I won a national championship. So I'm interested in going to be your guy because I want a trophy for my case. That kind of matches what every owner wants, right? Number one on the list, though, is how can you not put him number one on the list? How can you not put Bill Belichick number one on the list? I understand he's of an advanced age. I understand that the reason why he's out there isn't because he's lost his coaching acumen. It's because the control he had over the roster in New England, that roster failed him. And thus he, if you will, failed in getting the roster for himself to be TBH, to be honest. I get it. Let's figure out a new construct where he's comfortable in shopping for the groceries. You understand you need to get him the players he's comfortable with. How about the roster that's already there? Let's talk about who you want, who you don't want. I will then chime in on who I think should be there. You can look at me, Bill, and say you're out of your mind. Fine. We're collaborating in a new way. And then you get the coach who is as brilliant as ever. I saw it in person. I can't believe I have the fortune of calling his last win as a New England Patriot coach in Denver, wrecking that buffet in the same way he did Pittsburgh's on a Thursday night with Bailey Zappi. Folks, I'm telling you, he hasn't lost a step on how to coach, he's number one. I can't believe he's out there to go get. Mm-hmm. That's my power rankings of head coaching candidates. All right, let's take a break. Dolph Lundgren is here. Let's bring him out. Let's show a clip of his new movie, Wanted Man. Let's play a little bit of Celebrity True or False. Here he is, Dolph Lundgren, when we come back in studio on The Rich Eisen Show. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports. The number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell everybody about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's fun and easy. Pick two players or more based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks and boom, you're part of the action. With basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that includes two or more players from different sports and leagues. Prize Picks even has a reboot policy where your entries stay in play if one of your players gets injured. For basketball and football games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player is rebooted. Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with insurance for injury. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. Look, looking ahead this week, NFL, Jahmyr Gibbs, total yards, Tony Pollard, rush yards. Boom, that's a winner.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Karen, what you got?
Hi, guys. Karen Applem from Australia with a quick question for season 3 Talisman. That knife wound healing scene was so powerful. Tom, what was it like to do that scene with John as your director?
It's great that I was with those people because when your eyes are closed and someone is supposedly going to stab you in the chest, you have to really trust that they're not going to hurt you. So yeah. I was in good hands with John.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Dolph Lundgren here on The Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience has just returned. We just showed a clip of Wanted Man, which is available in theaters on demand and digital this Friday, January 19th. You were in the film. We just saw that in the clip. We didn't see Kelsey Grammer in the clip, but he's in the film too, huh?
Kelsey, yeah. Yeah, he's a friend of mine. And
how long have you known him?
I've known him since Expendables 3, so that's probably 6-7 years, yeah.
Okay.
Well, when we met, actually before that, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then I knew him socially, and somebody suggested him for the role, a mutual friend. And, you know, his delivery is very, no matter who he plays, is light and entertaining. And he plays an interesting kind of a character that has a lot of levels. So I thought it'd been a good choice to do that, and I think it works pretty well.
Well, I mean, he's Kelsey Grammer, man.
Yeah, he was.
So you only met him recently compared. No, I thought maybe you might have crossed paths late, you know, earlier in your career.
Expendables 3, and then socially I met him, and then we worked on this together. And he's a great guy. I mean, first of all, I like him as a person, but, you know, his acting is really terrific. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's great in this part because he plays a few different levels at the same time.
Right, and you directed this as well.
Yeah, so, I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what different challenges does that give you, Dolph,
the director? Well, you know, acting and directing is a challenge because you have to be prepared. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about your own performance that much, but you can focus on the other actors,
yes,
on the cinematography, on the lighting and other things, you know, that you need to do as a director. So it's a challenge, but I like it. It's satisfying, you know, to do it. I've done a lot of acting, so this is just a different, more challenging way to do it.
And again, it's available in theaters on demand and digital this very Friday, January 19th. You also have another project, the new series that's coming out tonight.
Yes.
At 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the Maximum Effort channel. It's 12 episodes, and it's called Flip a Coin. And it's narrated by your fellow Swede, Malin Ackerman, correct?
Yes.
And is it true? It's just you flipping a coin? Is that literally what this is?
Yeah, golf? It's very exciting. I flip a coin for 30 minutes. And
what is it, a quarter? What sort of coin?
It's a special Swedish coin. Yeah, it's got a Viking on one side. It's an interesting show. To be honest, I don't quite understand it, but I thought, you know, maximum effort. They're very smart guys.
I get it.
It's a challenge.
It's Fubo and Ryan Reynolds. I get it. You go to, so what are you, just flipping a coin?
Like, yeah, flipping it. Different angles, slow-mo, from above, from below. Yeah, they're visually exciting, and I guess you can use it to gamble on different things.
Okay. That is one of the most wild aspects for me that I've been fortunate to do with the NFL, going to as many Super Bowls as I've been to, is the loudest cheer sometimes at the Super Bowl is when they announce the coin flip, whether it's heads or tails, and it isn't because somebody's cheering whether their team is about to receive the football, Dolph. Like, there is an actual wager on heads or tails.
There you go.
So have you determined that is it that this is an age-old question, you might know better. Is it truly a 50-50 proposition between heads or tails? Have you determined anything about that?
Well, you know, I did study chemical engineering for 5 years in college. I read that it's not a 50-50 because the coin, the head side is slightly heavier because there's more brass on that side, more metal.
Okay.
So that it's more likely that the heads ends up going down. So
okay.
In other words, tails is 52% and heads would be 48. So there you go.
So when they say tails never fails,
whoa,
that's incorrect.
Yeah.
But tails is more often.
It's more often, yeah.
To win.
Yeah. Except on the Viking coin is a different.
Oh, well, hold on a second.
So you should go for tails if you're going to bet.
Sometimes they put it? Heads is the logo
the team and the helmets sometimes.
Is it
now,
sometimes or is it the Super Bowl logo on one side, the NFL logo? What is an actual coin? So you need to look at the design of the coin. Is what you're saying
right
that is a crucial aspect of that?
Yeah, because if you flip it 1,000 times, then.
Yes.
Statistically, the heavier side would end up going down, hitting the ground first more times. So if it isn't exactly balanced, then that does make a difference.
How about that? Chris, are you, because that's the gambler here. Was that a quarter you have right there?
I'm examining in this quarter. However, the tails is different now. The tails on this one is like a Mount Rushmore situation.
What do you think? 48 tails.
I'm a heads guy.
I'm fast. And we've got some great production value to start. Is the producer of... It, true or false, you left MIT.
Months, I was going out with a lady, you know, going to show business.
So you're like, screw this test tubes business? I'm hanging out with Andy. What is it like hanging out with Andy Warhol at Studio 54, Dolph Lundgren?
It was pretty kind of mind-blowing for a young Swedish kid at the time. I was about 25 at the time. And,
right.
It was a different era of no cell phones and... You know, people had a different feeling of privacy, I think, in those places than now. So a lot of big celebrities were there. You know, if it was Mick Jagger or David Bowie, whoever, you could see a lot of people there in person, you know.
So what do you have a conversation with Andy Warhol about? What is that? Like, hey, where are you from, Andy? Or like, what?
No, the first time I met him, I was actually roaming around this club. And, you know, I never drank or anything. I was just training in those days. And, some little guy comes up to me and goes, what are you famous for? And I'm like, nothing as far as I know. And then he has a little Instamatic camera. He takes a picture of me and says, I'm going to put you in my magazine. And it was Andy Warhol. Somebody told me, that's him.
Are you serious?
No, I'm serious.
Just going to put you in my magazine.
Yeah, and then I ended up in Interview Magazine. And that was around the time I was auditioning for Rocky IV and... Then I got to meet Sly and all of that. So it was a big, big change in my life. And in about a year or two, it changed, you know, 180 like that.
Wow. Yeah. Hell with MIT.
I was at LA Action a number of years ago checking in, and I was going through the security with an agent. I think somebody was helping me through, and this guy ahead of me went, he says, are you Dolph Lundgren? I say, yeah. He says, well, I'm Professor So-and-so. I'm the one who approved your application to MIT. And he says, I guess you did okay without it. And I said, yeah, I'm sorry I quit. But
what did you think you wanted to be when you went to MIT?
Well, I was going to get a PhD in chemical engineering. I had a master's, and then I was going to go to business school and try to run Exxon or something, you know.
Jeez.
I mean, the rest of these questions after this, but hold on a minute. Here we go. True or false, you were the team leader for the U.S. modern pentathlon team at the 96 Summer Olympics.
That's true, yeah.
How'd you get involved with that?
I did a movie called Pentathlon, and two of the guys who trained me were Olympic athletes on the U.S. team. And then pentathlon was a sport that they were going to eject from the games because every Olympic games, they try on two new sports, and they get away, you know, eject two old sports, and they were going to get rid of pentathlon. So they wanted me to help kind of help boost the image of pentathlon. So I did this film about it, and then they wanted me to be team leader at 96 in 96, and I was. Team leader is like the guy who sets up the training, who arranges the travel and kind of manager and the training schedule and stuff like that. And it was interesting because, you know, Ali was the guy who lit the torch and
were you there that night?
Yeah, I was there that night in the stadium. And
did you tell him you would break him?
No, but he did throw a couple of jabs my way when I ran into him in the elevator.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
There's a photograph of Muhammad Ali and Ivan Drago. Is there a photograph of that somewhere?
No, he was always... He was a funny guy, you know. He was a little bit. He had Alzheimer's at that time too, but he was still sharp. Like he still recognized me and realized I was from that movie, and so he started doing a little shadow boxing.
Oh my god! So Warhol wasn't there to take that picture, is what you're saying?
No, he wasn't there to defend me.
So then let's go back to the day. Then third one for you. I got five of them. Dolph Lundgren, celebrity, true or false? It's true. I imagine then that you pulled a gun on Grace Jones in A View to Kill.
Yes, I did.
You did?
On Chris Walken.
Oh, you put a gun on Chris Walken?
It was her on Chris Walken. No, it was on her. You're right.
Okay.
On her, yeah. Yeah, he was in the background.
What was it like doing a scene with Christopher Walken?
It was interesting. You know, I just started acting, and I...
You were a Russian bodyguard.
I was a Russian bodyguard. Somebody got sick, and I just stepped in and took
Are you
that
serious?
Role. Yeah. The director said, you want to be in the movie? And I'm like... I don't know if I can do it. So, yeah, just get over here, put the suit on, pull the gun, point it at Grace, or was it at Chris? No, it was at Grace, at Grace. But it was interesting because, you know, Chris Walken was doing a scene with this British actor who plays the Russian KGB guy.
Yeah.
Yes, he's always the same guy, you know, plays the Russian henchman. Anyway, so I watched them rehearse, and... And then when on take one, you know, Chris Walken goes, he does it completely differently. Like, instead of being very soft, he yells, and then the guy jumps back like a foot. He just jumps, and they got it on camera, and I realized, wow, it was really clever. He did that. He switched it up on the guy. So I think that's the scene that's in the movie. And he was a great guy, you know, interesting.
So that's how you got your credit from A View to a Kill, is that somebody got sick. You're like, you know, you look like a bodyguard, get in there. And then you got on camera. You pulled a gun on Grace Jones.
Yeah, I did.
Who was your girlfriend at the time, right?
Yes, but...
Oh, my gosh.
Right. I was, in the credits, you have to wait about 3 minutes when I appear at the bottom.
Yeah, Roger Moore is first,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, Roger, yeah.
Did you meet him?
Yes, he smoked cigars, and he always sat back and goes, Dolph is larger than Denmark. For some reason, I don't know where he got it from, but what a quote.
That's what he would say?
Yeah, that's what he said. I always remember that. It was out of nowhere.
Well, I think he's accurate. True or false, you got your role in Rocky IV by sending photos and videos of yourself to someone who knew Sly Stallone.
I gave a 8x10 to this guy who was a friend of Sly, and they took me about 6 months for him to get the pictures, for Sly to somebody to contact me when I was back in Europe, and then they flew me into LA and I met him here when he was doing Rambo 2. Mm-hmm. So he had long hair, he was tanned, and I was starstruck, and then you know I had to audition for the role for about another six months or so.
And that's how you got the gig.
Yeah.
What do you think of when you see a photo of yourself as Drago back in the day, man? Right now.
Well, it brings back memories of all the training with it, you know. Remember, this is back in the day when everything had to be in camera. There were no special effects. No visual effects.
Right.
And there were no doubles because we're in the ring with no shirt on, both of us. So you had to have the six-pack, and everything was real, you know. And there were no doubles or anything like that. And if you wanted blood to fly out of your mouth, you had to get punched and get it to fly out of your mouth. So I was always impressed Sly was in such good shape because I was a European, you know, karate heavyweight champion.
Well, you're bigger than Denmark.
And I'm bigger than Denmark. But he's about the size of Italy, so he kept that in those days.
And Dolph, is it true you put Sly in the hospital during the filming?
Well, he ended up in the hospital. I don't know if it was me or if it was
hold on a second. Was it? Did you connect with him? Is that what happened?
Well, we did connect a little bit, both of us, to the body mostly. And I think that's where he apparently got hurt. His heart had some kind of, went through some some shock or something from.
Damn.
Yeah, but he hit me a lot too. but, you know, I only did what I was told to do. He was the boss and I was sick.
He said, hit me? Is that what he said? Hit me?
Yeah, go ahead, hit me. Yeah.
sure you regret that.
yeah, we did that. And also to the, you know, the head, those head shots when your face goes in slow motion, those, you know, have to line those up in those days with 120 frames a second, you know, and just stiff arm it with the blood flying. And then take an aspirin and go home that day.
Take an aspirin. And the last one, is it true you had only 9 speaking lines in that movie?
No, I don't know. 9 speaking lines. Maybe you're right. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Is that what we found out?
I think that's what we've seen.
9.
Half in English, half in Russian?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah.
Or 4?
Yeah, something like that. I think there was probably more in the original, and they cut the character down a little bit to make him even more mysterious, you know. Which I think it works. you know, on film, sometimes if you don't say anything, I guess here's a better choice.
Here's a bonus one. Is it also true or false that you had your eye on the running man role that went to Arnold?
I think somebody sent me the script, but Arnold, of course, was a bigger star in those days, and he wanted to do it, and he did a good job. So, you know. And by the way, I met Arnold with Grace when he did Conan 2, and I was a fighter at the time when I first met him. Mm-hmm. So we were friends back then, even.
Yeah, he came here in studio in December.
Oh, did he?
Yeah,
okay.
And he looked at this chair that you're currently sitting in, called it a baby chair.
A baby chair.
He's not going to sit in a baby chair.
For man, and yes.
He went to Chris's seat, and he took that and removed this chair and moved that over here and sat in that chair.
What a character. No, he's a character.
He is that.
Yeah. That's funny.
It's good to have you here, Dolph Lundgren.
Thanks, Rich.
Wanted Man is available in theaters on demand and digital this very Friday, January 19th. With you and Kelsey Grammer and more, and Flip a Coin debuts tonight. Watch Dolph flip a coin for 30 minutes. I can't believe we learned that heads. Is going to lose more than tails just because of gravity and things of that nature, things like science. That's at 9:30 Eastern on the Maximum Effort channel. New episodes every Wednesday. Good to see you again.
You too.
Let's
Thanks.
Do this more often than just every 6 years. Dolph Lundgren right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back to wrap
Thank
things
you.
Up in a moment. There's a trade in the NBA, by the way. standing with a photograph next to Sly, and you know, we all know what is the height difference between you and Sylvester Stallone if we were doing a tale of the tape here, Dolph?
I don't know, but they put me on an apple box to make me look even taller.
No, they did no such thing.
Yeah, like he wanted that big difference.
All the way up there.
Yeah. And actually, the kid who plays my son now, he's a bit taller than me. So he's going to be a lot taller than Michael B. So it's going to be like a rematch.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah,
so what would you say? Just a few inches? You got a few inches on
him right now? I don't know. Maybe 4 inches.
Four or five inches. Okay. Mike, why don't you come over here? Would you mind seeing him? Because we've got our audio executive. Yeah, come on over here. Let's see what would the height discrepancy be here for Mike Del Tufo and Dolph Lundgren. Let's see. Yeah. What will you tell him?
It's like this. I must break you.
I'm scared. I'm out. Just scared.
Well, hold on a minute. Let's just show.
You want to measure?
Show the tail of the tape.
Show Mike. Let's show Mike's training regimen for the Rumble and the Gundo.
Right.
Tuesday. $20.
Yeah, seats are $20.
We're splitting this.
But he's been training. See, he's walking around. What do you think? He's focused.
He got the beef coming up. Hit the beef.
Well, he's got the Rocky fingerless gloves too.
Oh yeah. Now this was a great video.
Okay, we got it all. Oh wow, you gave him a shot. What do you think, Dolph?
It's not bad. It's a good beginning. A couple of years, you'll be good.
There's no end to it.
That's good, man.
Rumble in the Gundo. I forgot about Rumble in the Gundo, man. I forgot we did that nonsense with
amazing.
Him.
Amazing.
Back in the day. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Yeah, so I'm in MIT and I'm dating Grace Jones and going to Studio 54 with Andy Warhol. So I figured, screw this MIT stuff. Then I wind up on the set of A View to a Kill, a Bond movie, and I'm dating Grace Jones. And suddenly somebody's sick and I'm in the movie now and I'm pulling a gun on my girlfriend. Christopher Walken spins a curveball at the actor who I've been seeing my entire childhood play the Russian for Spectre, right?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
And then Roger Moore. You're bigger than Denmark.
Bigger than Denmark.
Oh, my God. God, I love doing this show. Check out Game Time Tickets. Put it on any mobile device. Go get the app. Download the app right now and start buying tickets. If you need a ticket to anything in your area, sports, music, comedy, theater events near you, it's so fast. It's so easy. Last-minute deals are killer. All-in prices, check them out. You can get to see your entire, before you check out, cost of your tickets, so there's no surprise. Views from your seats, you know what you'll be seeing. The court, the ice, the stage from your seat before you buy. No surprise there. In other words, take the guesswork, remove it. Completely out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account. Here's what's pretty cool about it, too. Use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account, redeem code RICH, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. While we're talking to Ivan Drago, Pascal Siakam got traded to the Pacers, huh?
Yep.
What's the deal?
Crazy.
What are the terms here? Is it just straight up draft choices?
No, there's some players involved. Nothing too
Bruce
wild.
Bruce Brown. Jordan Nwora. Three first round picks. Oh, New Orleans is a third team in.
Yeah.
Sending Kira Lewis to the Raptors. Two first rounders in 2024 and in 2026 go to the Raptors, and New Orleans sends a second round pick to Indiana.
Pacers going for it.
So it's Siakam and Halliburton when he comes back, and Miles Turner and
all the rest of their pieces.
Buddy Hield.
Okay, let's go.
What is that good enough for?
Home playoff game.
Well, they clearly have.
They score a lot. They're one of the most exciting teams offensively in the league.
Well, here's two things that we know that they have. Figuratively, the Bucks number. And literally Giannis's basketball. Have we determined those are the things that they have?
That's true. So they're currently the 6th seed.
And now Pascal Siakam. Those are the three things we know that they have.
Yeah, 6th seed that are one game back of Miami and Cleveland in the 4-5 spot. So they're right there.
Right now, Halliburton's still out for another week or so.
Halliburton's still out, yeah, after that weird...
By the way, I'd sign for that if I'm them. The way he was taken off the court, I thought he was done for the year.
Yeah. Agreed.
Awful.
I honestly thought, there goes his knee, there goes something.
I thought he just tore his entire groin off the way he'd split like
that.
Yeah,
it was an ugly situation on that play. But, yeah. They're making moves. Is that enough to be better than Philly, Milwaukee, or Boston? I don't know.
We'll find out the answer to that. But one thing that I also know is, because I listen to our guests when they come in here, Chris Mannix was saying that Siakam was a player that the Warriors might be interested in to try and turn things around for them.
Teams, his name was being thrown around.
Yeah.
Sixers being one. You know, they had a huge win last night against the Nuggets in a really good game. But, yeah, his name been attached to a few teams.
So that's a big NBA trade right there. And the Raptors are just, you know, moving. Well, I mean, they're revamping and going for in a different direction. And I think, Jay, do we have the soundbite of Toronto's coach telling anybody that is counting them out what to think about that? I think we have that.
This is completely BS. This is shame.
That's what he's saying.
Outrageous.
Anybody who thinks they're tanking.
Outrageous.
Well, Scotty Barnes is the face. But now Scotty Barnes is going to have more points.
He's even
more opportunities to be the face.
More the face of basketball.
That's our favorite new drop.
This is BS.
All right. So there you have it, guys. Boom. That's a show.
Boom.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Well, what is that? Where was that from?
I've just been waiting.
Only three games in the association last night, but all three of them are pretty good.
And we're back at it today.
Clippers.
And we being me winning our fantasy league again. Oh,
but you're not winning right now. You're in second place.
Oh, okay. There's an ass and an elbow you're looking at right now, and it's mine.
You're half a game ahead of me, Rich.
You see who's on the show tomorrow? Look who's coming in studio tomorrow.
Who's coming in tomorrow? I take it one show at a time.
Okay. Snoop D-O double G.
Hey!
The big Snoop Dogg.
Snoop's coming here.
He hasn't been here in a while either.
Gee. He has not been here a while. Well, we still have the
love it.
The play he drew up. It's so long ago. The play he drew up were for his favorite Steelers at the time: Big Ben, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
That's who he put up on the board for his plays for.
That's been on there, what, 6 years
now? Oh, more than that.
Keep going.
More. Keep going.
2015, I think.
There's literally a sign on it, and we'll pull it out tomorrow. I'm
saying,
do not erase.
Yeah.
Do not erase. And I'm looking at it right now. Coach Snoop the Great.
We don't have to worry about that anymore. We used to have multiple shows in here. It's just us chickens now.
Yeah. True that.
Wow.
Snoop, though, man.
Snoop Dogg, power number three. He's got a new movie he's talking about as well. And I can't wait to ask him if he wants Tomlin out, if he's one of those Steeler fans. Because I proffer to say I know I've got a plus one in my world,
man. But I think I know which way I would put my money down.
That's exactly right.
You know, but huge Steeler fan, so you know he's probably. Still
I can't
fired
wait to
up.
Talk with him. One of our favorites, Snoop D-O double jizzle.
It's the D-O double.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
I mean, I dig Jey Uso because he's born out of great storytelling and he lived up to the opportunity and exceeded it. The LA Knight, he's way up on my list because here's a guy that's been around for almost ever, should have probably quit a half a dozen times, and he just forced his way into their life and now he's making money hand over fist. That is a story I love.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.